I'm Marco Werman. This is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. All week, protesters have been out in the streets in Egypt demanding that their president of 30 years step down. And all the while, President Hosni Mubarak remained out of the public eye, sending his riot police and military to deal with the demonstrators. Today, after the most violent day of clashes, Mubarak finally responded in person. Egypt's president went on national TV late at night Cairo time and in so many words said, "No, I won't go." He told Egyptians that he's dismissing his government ministers and appointing new ones tomorrow. And he defended the crackdown on protesters, saying he had taken an oath to protect Egypt. Shortly after Mubarak's speech, President Obama made a statement at the White House. He said he personally spoke with the Egyptian leader just after Mubarak's TV address, and he called on him and authorities in Egypt to refrain from using violence. Until now, the crackdown by Egyptian security forces has included firing rubber bullets, tear gas, and water cannons at the crowds. Journalists covering the unrest have not been spared either. Assad Sawi was covering the protest for the BBC's Arabic service when he was arrested.
When they came, they arrested me. I said, "I'm BBC." They didn't care about BBC or any other organization. They were targeting journalists deliberately. They took my camera away, and when they arrested me, they started beating me up with steel bars, the ones used here for animals, for slaughtering animals. And it's been really, really brutal.
Assad Sawi of the BBC there, one of hundreds of people who've been reported wounded during the protests in Egypt. There are reports of deaths as well. Magdi Abdelhadi is the BBC's Middle East editor. He's in Tunisia. He spoke to us earlier today and told us that Egypt hasn't seen violence like this in decades.
There were bread riots in the days of late President Sadat, that is Mr. Mubarak's predecessor, but nothing of this nature. This is a primarily political eruption inspired by what happened in Tunisia. Of course, underlying there are economic grievances, but these are people out in the streets wanting Mubarak, who's ruled Egypt for 30 years, to go. They want a radical overhaul of the political system. They want a new constitution that guarantees freedom of expression, freedom of assembly, abolition of emergency laws. Mubarak has ruled Egypt throughout his 30 years with the help of emergency laws, and they want a limitation on the presidential powers and also the number of terms he could serve.
Are you personally surprised by the past few days in Egypt?
I'm completely taken aback by it, because when Tunisia erupted into civil unrest, which eventually ousted the Tunisian president, everybody expected a ripple effect. But no one expected the Egyptian eruption to be so sudden and so dramatic. Today has arguably been one of the fastest moving days in the history of modern Egypt. So this is very, very serious. The army has to step in because the police couldn't cope with the riots. A curfew has been imposed on all major cities in Egypt. This is very serious. When the army is called in to help maintain stability, this could only suggest one thing, that the regime is really rattled to the core. And the demonstrators don't seem to have lost their appetite. So one can only expect escalation of this confrontation.
There have been reports of protesters shaking hands with the police just outside of Cairo. How solid is the police and military support for Hosni Mubarak and his government?
Standard analysis has been for years, solid, coherent military and security establishments behind the regime. What I have seen, the reports, was that some policemen have joined the demonstrators in Alexandria in the north. To the east of Cairo, in the city of Suez, along the Suez Canal, the reports were that the police have lost the battle. The protesters have chased the police out of the city. They've set fire to police stations. They have overpowered the police. So the police basically were forced to retreat. The army has taken over, and the crowds have welcomed the army, tried to give them flowers. That again is reminiscent of what happened in Tunisia. So where does the army stand here is very crucial. If escalation continues, if the army will stand by the people against Mubarak and the rest of the regime, and that's what happened in Tunisia, or whether it will side with the regime, that is going to be a very crucial moment.
Let's just remind our listeners briefly about Mubarak's own background. He came to power following the assassination of Anwar Sadat in 1981. Mubarak was then Sadat's deputy. He was actually sitting right next to him in those stands and was lucky not to have been killed himself. How has that affected the way Mubarak has managed his security apparatus ever since?
By all accounts, he has also survived other assassination attempts. So he seems to have these traumatic experiences, one would think, have shaped his perception of the environment around him, where security and stability seem to have always come first before anything else. Let me just remind you also something about his background. Mubarak is a man from the military. He spent most of his life in the military. He's an Air Force pilot. And he is trained to give orders and receive orders from his superiors. That is what he's good at. Democracy is quite alien to a man of his age. He's 83 now. So how he is going to handle this, quite honestly, it's just beyond what I can imagine. I don't think he's the kind of man who understands democracy and how it operates. He's a military man through and through.
And now the Egyptians in the streets of Cairo and Alexandria are demanding that democracy. Does it appear that there's another party or another Mubarak waiting in the wings if Mr. Mubarak were to be toppled?
I don't think there is, because part of the problem of authoritarian regimes in the Arab world like Mr. Mubarak's is that they prevent the maturing of a political culture that can allow for emergence of political parties with political leaders that have some kind of grassroots support. The system operates by suppressing any form of rivalry to the one leader, the one party. And when they go, there is a barren political landscape, and it's very difficult to know whether a political leader could emerge out of this. The only coherent institution that can hold the place together is the army.
The BBC's Middle East editor speaking with us from Tunis, Magdi Abdelhadi. Thank you very much indeed for the insight.
Thank you very much.